Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 264, part 1, Law. Today is Friday, October 26th, 2012.
Come gather around, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing. Some writers and critics who prophesize with your pen, and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin. And there's no telling who that it's naming. Was the loser now will be later to win. For the times, they are a-changing. Senators, congressmen, please heed the call. Don't stand in the doorway, don't lock up the hall. For he that gets hurt will be he who has stalled. The battle outside raging will soon shake your windows and rattle your walls. For the times, they are a-changing. Mothers and fathers throughout the land, and don't criticize what you can't understand. Your sons and your daughters are beyond your command. Your old road is rapidly aging. Please get out of the new one if you can't lend your hand. For the times, they are a-changing. It is drawn, the curse it is cast. The slow one now will later be fast, as the present now will later be past. The order is rapidly fading, and the first one now will later be last. For the times, they are a-changing.
Today's message is entitled, Law. What shall we say then, that the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained unto righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith? But Israel which followed after the law of righteousness, and listen carefully, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone, as it were written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense. And whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Romans 9:30 through 33. People, you here today and you hearing this over the radio or on this tape or in some other part of the world, we have, for the most part, neglected the gospel. We have wandered away, and I have to say this. I know I talk a lot about it, but certain things need to have a death. Anyway, we have wandered away into such things as prosperity teachings, hyper-faith teachings, self-righteous majority preachings, and we have ran from here to there and back again, looking for personal bless-me-outs. And I believe we have become in the process of dead ends seeking, miserable, wretched, and poor. And we've headed down a lot of dead ends, and we've wasted a lot of time. I think we have indulged ourselves long enough. And we now, as the vessels of mercy, must pour out the gospel to the lost and to the wandering and to the cold. We have to become realistic in it. And to the confused, and they don't want to hear a whole Bible study. Maybe they want something to eat and a kind word and then go on with the gospel. And to the frightened, and there are a lot of people out there right now that are totally frightened. Well, sheep who are close to falling into Satan's terrible pit, Romans 9, 23 and 24, we were afore prepared by God to give out mercy. That's the gospel. That's all you are to do. Not only have mercy, but be filled with mercy and your vessel to give out mercy, and that's the gospel, and that's all you are fashioned to do. And I think, yes, it's important to minister to one another, but we must not continue on in that line forever and get into little groups and minister back and forth. And oh, that ministered to me so much, and back and forth, and all this meeting and that meeting, and it ministered so much to me. And I believe just sometimes we must forget ourselves and be those vessels of mercy, because night is upon us. And it says a strong delusion will be loosed on that time, that midnight hour, and I think we're seeing one right now. That even almost the elect would fall. And so we have lost sheep. I'm talking about the unconverted are headed down hell's highway, and we're ministering or killing one another or something like that. And I think we must step off into darkness. Go right out into the middle of it with the grace message. Because it is not really a dawning of an age. I think it's a midnight hour, but of course there is going to be a sun coming up on this. But I think we must step off into the darkness that we ourselves have created by hiding our light. By not being that city set on a hill, by not being dedicated even unto death, what Christ has commissioned us to do, I think we have to step out of the darkness with the light of the gospel, and you're going to leave a few folks in the process. You're going to have to go out there, prayed up, and not only prayed up, but fasted up, with all of your armor on. And we'll probably go in close to the mouth of hell. You might even be surprised who's very close to that mouth of hell. Not there, not going there, but very close to it. And you might wonder who is filling up their vessel. The vessel that's marked mercy. False advertisement. Where has all the mercy gone? Long time it's been gone. Call out to the people out there, here's the way. And I think we're going to have to be bold. I think we're going to have to be courageous and take courage by the hand. And I think we're going to have a greater fire on the inside to stand the heat on the outside. Well, even the world knows that. They say fight fire with fire. And so we must not forget the lost sheep. I think it might be better then that we leave the 99 so that we don't neglect that rambler out there. And I pray today that this Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit makes this message so powerful that each word would be an A-bomb of truth. Blast Satan and his gang right out of existence. And that's what's moving right now, Satan. Don't so much blame this on the people, what's going on. Although they may even know, sometimes we are tempted to be on that pinnacle and look down and survey and say, well, all this can be yours, he says. And so maybe we might kick some off to the sidelines. No, we need to bless Satan and his gang right now. And oh Lord, blast those hard rocks of self-righteousness. Make way for the gospel of grace. Get out of the way, all you liars. For we are the vessels of mercy. And even though that it might have taken some time for us to come into the house of God because the foundation was being dug, at least it will be a firm one, and that which is built upon it will be the gospel of Jesus Christ. Maybe you won't always see what the foundation shows, but it's very important. It'll show up. In the end, it's going to show up what foundation we are all really built on. I think it's necessary then to go over the elements. The foundation of the gospel. The cornerstone, the one we build up on. Now, I think schools may rise in grades, but they can never throw out the spelling book. They can never throw out the ABCs. And two and two will always be four, and there's nincompoops that even argue that, but let them have at it. Yeah, I think that two and two will always be four, and we need to sometimes, I think all times, keep our eyes on the very basics. And so all over the world, there must be a repetition of the alphabet in words of one syllable, or there will be no scholarships. Oh, yes, I feel it's necessary to give line upon line, precept upon precept, as to the principles of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not saying anything other than that. But I believe millions are in bondage and will continue to be so until they hear a very clean cut, simple way by which they may be saved. And I think this is the very key to their liberty. Now, isn't it nice when you go home, you know your key is going to go in that lock and you open up the door with it? Isn't that simple? And the gospel message is just as simple. Jesus Christ is the key. Jesus Christ is the key to their freedom. He's a way out of bondage. And so you that know the first truths must be willing to hear them over and over and over again. Yes, praise God, there are many who never grow tired of looking at that. That stone that God laid as a foundation, for it never became a rock of offense to them. It never offends me when someone comes and gives the gospel. You know why? Because it does something within me. And so to many of you listening, the repetitions of Jesus are more acceptable than the novelties, let's say, of human revelation. And aren't there a lot of those human revelations? Oh, I had a visitation here and a visitation there and an angel dropped in and, huh? Methinks if there was so many of those visitations, there'd be a whole lot of things happening. I don't see a lot happening. And the thrill seekers of human invention. And so today I come before you again. Listen. God may give you a fresh revelation out of the foundation stone. I mean, the gospel message is so deep, you can't grab it all at once. I mean, you have to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, the gospel message is so high that you can't get over it. And it's so wide that you can't get around it, you got to come in at the door. The door to every revelation is the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's no other way. You got to pass that way every time, although you're free to go in and out. God has given you that freedom, that liberty. Not that you take liberty with liberty. Not that you misuse freedom, but you do have that freedom and you do have that liberty. So maybe we'll receive a fresh revelation today, God willing. Out of the foundation stone, the beginner's spelling book. Did you ever sit down with one of the little kids and Jack chased the ball and so on like that? Well, it means something different to you now. You think, well, Jack chased the ball. I hope he didn't run out in front of a car. Now it means more to you. And the gospel of Jesus Christ, as you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, means more to you, and there's a deeper revelation coming always. Oh, that we would more fully understand it, grasp it, and draw from it every time we hear it a blessing, and then rejoice in God our Savior. But Paul had two facts before him. Number one was that whenever he went preaching Jesus Christ, it says, certain Gentiles believed the doctrine, and right away, it says, became justified persons. And there's a lot of argument over that. One night I was down and we were ministering the gospel on the streets and we had taken some legalistic boob along with us, and right in the middle of us presenting the gospel, he ran up and said, "Did you tell him to repent?" Well, I mean, buses almost stopped and airplanes fell from the sky and everything else. He killed it right then and there. He didn't realize that God had made a way, and God is the one that repents. God gives you repentance. He is the God of repentance. You don't do anything by yourself. God puts that repentance in you just enough so you can say, "I'm sorry." And then after you get saved, you're real sorry because you start to find out about yourself. That's when repentance really comes, after you're saved. And so the fellow was saying, did you tell him to repent? Had a lot of repenting to do. Because see, now he had the spirit of repentance that's working on you all the time. Sometimes you repent before you even do something. You do it anyway, but you repent before you do it. You do it anyway, and then you have to kind of double repent. You know what I mean? Oh, if we would more fully understand the grace of God. But anyway, these people that right away received the gospel, right away, it says, became justified persons. It didn't say they just received it. It says they became justified persons right away. Zap. I've seen this advertisement, I think it was for NSP, about electricity, and they had these kids on there, and one little kid said, well, how does electricity get to your house? Well, he says they push a button like this, and it goes through a wire, zip! That's how you get it. That's how you receive Christ, zip! Did you think about it a good long time? Maybe you did, but did you, when you made the final decision, you made the decision. But they received at once forgiveness of sin and had a change of heart. And it just sort of boggled them every time it happened. And so he had preached in Ephesus, Thessalonica, Corinth, and Rome. And the heathen, it says, received the word of life and attained righteousness. And they proved it by changed lives. And a desire to change. You know, God even puts a desire in you. You don't desire, really, until God puts a desire in you to do anything. But then the Bible goes on, it's a sad fact, that when he preached the message of grace in the synagogues, it was rejected. Christ Jesus was rejected. They refused the grace gospel. And at the same time, it was evident that they had missed the righteousness which they thought they had already obtained. Well, if you're a legalist and you're listening to me, I check it out. But anyway, because as a nation, they were in bondage to superstitious prejudices. And they had fallen so low. So low that I think it is very correctly described by the prophet when he said, except the Lord of the Sabbath had left us a seed, we had been as Sodom and been like unto Gomorrah. Unless the Lord left us a seed, we'd be no better. There were these two facts before Paul's mind. The Gentiles who were afar off and obtained to righteousness, and it wasn't a taught faith, but one that was received as a vessel. And the Israelites who were at the door of it and yet perished right at the door and did not, it says, attain to the law of righteousness. Now, if you want to preach the law, you have to live up to that. No one can do it. The Bible says so. Ha, 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 ha. If you want to live by the law, go ahead. But there's no one that can do it. And so why is this? Their vessels were full of self-righteousnesses. And they couldn't attain and they couldn't receive Christ's righteousness, mercy. They were so full of their own laws and their own rules and their own perfect law-keeping, they thought, and they had a lot of amendments to it so they wouldn't have to keep it. And so to this, he calls our attention. And you look at the wonder of grace, first of all, to the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness. They didn't even follow after it. You know someone like that out there in the streets? Next, then, we're going to have to look at the marvel, let's say, of folly. Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Next, for you who have not allowed the Holy Spirit to show you, your completely corrupt self. I wonder, in this saga and these things that are happening now, I wonder how many will feel just out of it when they look at what has been done. You know, sometimes in a group, you ever see these shows when they have, and they're outside of these old cowboy shows, and they're outside there, and the guy's inside, and they're all yelling and swearing and throwing, and they've got a rope twirling around. We want to hang him in there. We want him. And the sheriff says, "You're not going to get him. He's mine." Huh? Then they hang this person, and then they find out later. But even after they hang him or cut their head off or shoot him or whatever, then everybody has that feeling like, now that it's all over, that isn't really what we wanted. Then they have to go off and they have to live what they did or didn't do. I mean, if we are the vessels of mercy and we don't give out mercy, then we have to live with what we didn't give out. And what you don't use, you lose. So to speak. God won't use you to pour out anymore. He won't pour it into you. You're not going to give it away anyway. Someone else has filled you up with something else. No, don't get caught in that. Don't get caught into that legal, judgmental, let's hang them, stab them, put them in quicksand type ministry, because I'll tell you why. Then you got to live with yourself after it's all over. It might be great when all the crowd is cheering. And everybody's self-righteous and you're kind of standing on their hind legs. But then you got to live with yourself when you go home. God knows it's hard enough. Isn't it sometimes? Because we all know. We all know ourselves that we are within ourselves, without Christ, in the flesh I'm talking about. I'm talking about your soul. I'm talking about the spirit. I'm talking about your flesh. We all know that we are corrupt. And so today, let the light of the Holy Spirit show you like the prodigal. Show you that you must be emptied out. And it says that he came to himself and then he arose and came to the Father. Now, we need to come to ourselves and say, are we any better? We need to say to ourselves, but for the grace of God, there go I. And oh, if you have an opportunity to give someone mercy, you give them mercy. If you have the opportunity to say something, say it. Or you know what? If you're silent, your conscience certainly won't be silent when you go home. It'll haunt you and you won't sleep. I had a young man start to talk to me about a friend of mine he was working for, and I told him, I says, young man, I want you to shut up and I don't want to hear that. Is that bold enough? Do you understand those words? Just shut up. You don't know nothing about this business, see? So mind your own business and collect your pay and go home. Be happy you have a job. No, when we have an opportunity to do well and don't do it, we are guilty. We are so guilty of not giving out mercy. You legalists listening, you also come to yourself today. because Satan will use you to rob and kill and destroy. And then dump you all on the dunghill you threw others on. And then you will certainly learn and learn to appreciate mercy. When you're up on the dunghill of life that you've thrown someone else up on. Because the Bible is very, very clear. If you give no mercy, you shall receive no mercy. And that whatsoever that you sow, so shall also that you reap. You're going to reap the same thing that you sowed. In the measure that you put someone else up on the dunghill, that's the measure you're going to be up there. You'll be a city all right. But you'll be one up on a dunghill for everybody to see. See, this grace and this mercy message is nothing to play with. It is a commission from God that you love one another. And if you love one another, you'll tell the legalist, hey, get down off of that stand. Put your gavel away before you bang yourself in the head with it. Just give away mercy and stop all of this other kind of gospel, and I don't know where you got it from. Go on out as you were commissioned to do and stop pointing that long, nasty, long fingernail out there and give out mercy. Because after all, that's all you have to give, and God put it in you to give it away. Now give it away. Come to yourself. But I think, firstly, we're going to have to look at the wonders of grace. It says, certain men had attained to righteousness. They had put their hand on it. They had grasped it firmly. And they could say, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, friend, that is a wonderful feeling to have. Wipes away all the doubt, wipes away all the guilt, except redemptive guilt, and then you just give it to God and you have like communion. But anyway, they had grabbed a hold of their salvation, Jesus Christ. Grab a hold of Jesus. That's all, really, that we have to grab a hold of. There is nothing else that has any substance. But in them, the righteousness of the law was fulfilled in that they received the righteousness. That's where the argument starts. And that's where it's going to end, too. You see, because they were at peace for the fruit of righteousness, it says, is peace. And so they were grateful for that peace. They were earnest. They were devoted. They were zealous. And it says they yielded their members. And so the Lord had covered them with the righteousness of Christ and had infused them in the righteousness of His indwelling Spirit. They were infused. They had become Christ-like. Infused, a transplant, if you will. Now, in this hour, we need to examine the gospel and find out what God wants us to be full of, and that's to be full of mercy. And oh, doesn't the world need mercy? Don't we all need mercy? And so the Bible says, saintly men and women were produced among them who were once used curious arts, it says, and enchantments. In those whose sin, it says, abounded, grace reigned through righteousness unto eternal life by the Lord Jesus Christ. There were people in the world whom God, the judge of all, accepted as righteous. You know, I really am so happy that God judges differently than we do. See, we judge, oh, hear this, will you? Oh, I didn't have my radio ministry on. Oh, my God. Hear this, radio ministry and tape ministry. I am so glad that God doesn't judge like we do, because we judge from the position of liars. Let God be true, the Word says, every man a liar. When we judge from the position of a liar. We are liars if we judge. Bible says, don't judge. Well, I mean, if you're hearing people judge, then the Bible says, let every man be a liar, let God be true. Liar, liar, used to say, pants on fire. Remember that when we were kids? That's what will happen to liars. Their pants will be on fire. Liar, 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 pants are on fire. I don't remember the rest of it. Doesn't matter. Got my point across. Their pants are on fire. Hot seat. Isn't that great? When someone judges that, you can just say, you are a liar, because you don't know the whole total truth. You shouldn't open your mouth up until you fully know the whole total truth. And then if you were to know the whole total truth, if you were Christ-like, you'd keep your mouth shut. You'd let someone else say it, so you could say, you said it. But anyway, now isn't it alone a wonder? For we were all sinners by nature and by practice. And isn't it a greater marvel that any of us should make it at all? Well, you're going to make it because he said, I have made you righteous, hath made you righteous. Past tense. Past perfect. I hath made you righteous, and so you have made it. It's fixed race, really. I thought to myself the other night while I was watching a TV circus show, Christian circus show, three ring Christian circus show. Yeah. If every person was judged by what God knew was in their heart, you wouldn't have no one singing this song. Oh, this is the way my brain thinks. They wouldn't be singing, go tell it on the mountain. Go tell it on the mountain. Oh, go tell it on the mountain. They'd be singing, go hide behind the mountain. Go hide behind the mountain, huh? And they prayed that the mountains would fall on them, the Bible says. No, sit down, Christians, listen to me. And rejoice in the righteousness you have received by faith, and you will be filled with wonder and with amazement. And the more that you consider the righteousness which you have received in Christ Jesus by faith in Him, the more you will cry out, oh, what mercy and oh, what depth. Don't we all need mercy? Oh, a couple years ago they were telling about a group that sold toilet seats for $550 apiece to the government. Oh, the poor little taxpayers, you know. And the handheld communicators, $150 apiece, you know what they were? They were a pencil. These were handheld communicators. Isn't that awful? No, it's not awful at all. This shows how much we need the Lord. That's all. You wouldn't have done such a thing, would you? Never, never, never. Don't be so sure of that. Actually, Satan would say to you, it isn't a lie. You do hold them in your hand, and you can communicate with them, and look at the nice silver tip on it. Got to be worth at least $150 apiece. Maybe more. Well, we'll be fair. $150. No, you can't even judge. It says, judge not the world, for they are already under judgment. So shut up on that and stop going out there and carrying signs and machine gunning down magazine racks and all that and just lift up Jesus. I know you hate this listening on the radio because, man, you wore your legs out walking by these stores and carrying placards and signs and all this and, you know, lipping off to the government and everything else. And the Lord says, pray for your government. What do? We march on Washington! Don't you think prayer will work? You're always talking about how powerful prayer is. It is powerful. You can pray right at home and still fix your husband's dinner, and it'll work. You don't have to go on Washington so hubby has to eat these cold TV dinners. Oh, God, I said it, and I'm glad. Happy. Woo! Now, if every person would judge by God what was in their heart, no one would make it. Oh, what a miracle. What a miracle of love. We who were under the curse have not obtained the blessing of righteousness. We have obtained this mercy seat. We now have it. We were under the curse, we're taken, the curse has vanished away, and now we are at the mercy seat, and we receive it. And all we have to do is receive it by faith. God doesn't give you an excuse to go on a trip someplace to receive it. You receive it by faith right where you're at. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
There you have it. That was part one of episode 264, Law. Be sure to join us on Sunday for the conclusion. Have a great weekend, and God bless you.
To England or France, you may like to gamble, you might like to dance, you may be the heavyweight champion of the world, you may be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict dancing on the stage, money, drugs at your command, women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor, or they may call you chief. You're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
It may be a state trooper. It may be a young Turk. Maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor, you may be blind or lame, maybe living in another country.
under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Maybe a construction worker working on a home. Might be living in a mansion, you might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord, you may even own banks. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. And maybe somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk, might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes,
somebody.
Indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, you may call me Terry, or you may call me Timmy. You may call me Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy. You may call me RJ, you may call me Ray. You may call me anything, no matter what you say. You're still gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.